bringing in Mike Tenier, lead NFL writer, Bleacher Report. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Twitter will tell you just about everything if you listen to Twitter long enough. That's why the smart people stopped listening to Twitter many, many years ago.
All right, so let's start with Kaepernick. This ad and the National Football League and the swooshes that are on all the jerseys and the fact that this is an ad that's going to run during game one of the National Football League season, how does this sit with the National Football League, despite what they may have said?
The National Football League has been torn on this issue for the last 2 years. And I think people kind of lose track of that. They were caught off guard by the fact that these protests were happening, and they immediately said that these protests have a right to happen, but gosh golly gee, we wish they didn't. Which I think any employer or any big business would be like that. You know, what we'd really like to do is just make money with no controversy, but if this is happening, this is happening. This was not this anti-protest stance, and what became pretty obviously a blackballing of Colin Kaepernick. I'm not certain how much of that comes from the league offices. I don't know how much of that is an owner-by-owner situation. I know there's a collusion case out there, but the collusion case does not depend on, you know, Roger Goodell announcing and sending memos out saying don't hire this guy. So there's a lot of that to unpack. When we get back to this ad, I mean, you've seen the ad, right? You've seen this 2 minutes of ad. What's controversial? What's negative? What's bad about this? Unless you have decided for yourself that Colin Kaepernick is some sort of evil menace to North American society, what is negative about this ad? This ad is overwhelmingly positive. This ad is overwhelmingly inspirational. And I think that element backs everybody into a corner who's against it. You say, what are you against? Are you against people with disabilities achieving, young people achieving their dreams? Is that what you're against? Or you're against someone that you don't like for a reason that you don't like them? And that puts the NFL in a different position. I think that puts a lot of people who are just sort of knee-jerk anti-Kaepernick or anti-Nike or whatever in a difficult position.
You're right about all that. And I've absolutely positively supported Kaepernick's right to these protests and other players as well. That said, I do think you mentioned it, and it occurred to me, the imaging in it, there is some manipulation to it there, and Nike hasn't shied away from that. The Charles Barkley role model ads, the Tiger Woods dad ad with his late dad. There's a little bit of mind manipulation in some of the ads they've done before. And I bring that up to say, wouldn't you say that most people who don't follow the NFL, when they think of Nike athletes, right? Serena, Agassi, Tiger, Barkley, Jordan, they must think Colin Kaepernick was like Joe Montana instead of like Tony Banks or Byron Leftwich, right? Because it feels like a top five all-time quarterback has been blackballed out of his sport, and I'm not sure that's true. I think we know that's not true.
I think comparing Colin Kaepernick to Tony Banks and Byron Leftwich is an insult to Colin Kaepernick. I think that's factually inaccurate. I'm serious. I don't think it was particularly funny either. I think that was kind of ridiculous what you just said there.
Which part? That he's way better?
In comparison to those two other quarterbacks who, oh, by the way, happen to also be African-American, but who are far inferior quarterbacks to Colin Kaepernick.
They're far inferior? In the last 2 years, where Kaepernick was, where he wasn't reading defense as well, where he was inaccurate, where he was 3-16 in his last 19 starts.
My apologies. I thought I was brought in for my expertise on the NFL here, and I'm telling you it's a fact that they're in no way comparable to Colin Kaepernick, who took his team to a Super Bowl and almost won it. So now that we've established that, I'll backtrack to what you said before.
Well, are we having a conversation? I'm happy to have a conversation, but if you're going to, like, I don't see a problem with me challenging an opinion. It's not a fact that Colin Kaepernick is a fantastic quarterback and was destined for Canton. I thought he was a really good quarterback for 4 years, but I think a lot of guys in the league have been.
Well, I don't think Tony Banks ever was, so I'm not sure where you're coming from here, but I'm happy to hear you backtrack on that. At any rate, I don't know who this person that you're talking about, this hypothetical person who doesn't follow the NFL, who has no opinion on Colin Kaepernick and yet has an opinion on Nike sneakers is. I don't know who that is in society. That's like going back 20 years ago and saying, well, O.J. Simpson, if you didn't know about football, this is a person, and I don't want to compare O.J. Simpson to Colin Kaepernick, but this is someone who has permeated the culture now. So I think Nike, and when we talk about mind manipulation, I think that's all advertising. I think commercials for detergent are mind manipulation as well. Nike does want to establish itself as something that's a little anti-establishment, sometimes something that's a little bit counterculture. And it's hard to do that when you're a multi-billion-dollar organization. Now you have somebody who very much speaks the truth to power, someone who has very boldly protested. You decide to make him their your spokesperson. I think that fits the image. I think that's what they want to do. But they want to incorporate that not with the negativity that has been attached to Colin Kaepernick, but with the positivity of struggling for your dreams and trying to achieve, and trying to achieve when you're somebody who may not be of the mainstream.
We're talking to Mike Tenier. He's the lead NFL writer for Bleacher Report. The season begins tonight with two teams that have either been there or been very close to being there. What do you see for Philadelphia in trying to repeat, and where does Atlanta go after last year's, you know, they had to go through the season knowing what happened the Super Bowl before?
Well, for the Eagles, I think one of the problems you have, obviously, of an injury report that goes beyond Carson Wentz. I mean, we know Nick Foles will be quarterbacking. We know he won the Super Bowl for them last year. Alshon Jeffrey is unavailable. Backup receiver Mac Hollins, who would have gotten a lot of the touches Jeffrey would have gotten, he's probably unavailable. Nelson Aguilar, I believe, is expected to play, but he was hurt most of the preseason. You have an injury report that's going to make it hard for the Eagles to at least win in this game and win in the short term against quality opponents. Falcons intrigue me. We have not seen Julio Jones all preseason. We have not seen Devontae Freeman. We saw very little of Calvin Ridley. This is a team that looked very strong on defense in the preseason. This is a team that people forget. People remember them losing to the Eagles last year. They forget they won a playoff game on the road in Los Angeles. It's a strong overall team. So I'm leaning for the Falcons this tonight to win the ball game. What that means for the playoffs is difficult to say. As we look down the season, I think this is going to be a game with major implications down the road because it could be a playoff tiebreaker. NFC is brutal. Every loss, every home loss, every conference loss is going to matter. So the Eagles have to hope that they can find a way without so many pieces to get a win at home tonight.
Mike, Pittsburgh's a pretty strong union town, very blue collar. I feel there's a majority of Steelers fans that are backing the billionaire Rooney family as opposed to their star running back. And it doesn't help when offensive linemen come out. I got told this in my business. Maybe you've heard it too. Don't talk about other people's money. Don't talk about other people's contracts. If you want to say, hey, they're not a good team player, they're not good character, they don't support me like I support them, that's fine. But once you get into paychecks, and I thought they went there yesterday, the offensive lineman. Yeah. I think Ben needs to come out today and give Le'Veon Bell some backing here. And Le'Veon Bell's agent said it, and you hear fans say it, and analysts like you or hosts like us say it all the time, that the agent actually said, we're worried they're going to grind him out, give him the ball 28 times a game, and knowing it's his last year with the Steelers, basically put him through the wood chopper, and then when it comes to free agency, we've got damaged goods. What do you think of that?
It's shocking that the guys came out like that, and you're right, the money element is shocking, where one of the guys was like, he makes 5 times as much as me, as 15 times as much as Al Villanueva. And if I'm Al Villanueva, I'm saying, why are you bringing my salary into this? Why are you comparing your salary to mine before we even get to Le'Veon Bell? And you and I, we know in this business that there are guys like in the building, in the lunchroom, who make far more or far less than you, and you don't talk about things like that. But another thing you said is that Pittsburgh is kind of a blue-collar union town. And it is, to a degree, oddly enough, Steelers fans are always pro-management. They're always pro-Steelers. So when the offensive line says this, and they're kind of the blue-collar teams on that guys on that team, a lot of the fan base is like, yeah, go get him, Pouncey. Go get him, Foster Castro. Go after this guy. But everything you said after that is right. You've got Le'Veon Bell, who has no contract after this year and could touch the ball 400 times this year and could get an ACL or worse, could get like some sort of lingering ankle sprain that like limits his career from here on. A lot of the guys who are criticizing him, who, yes, make less money than him, are under contract for 2019, 2021. They kind of know where the bread is being buttered for the next couple of years. Le'Veon Bell isn't, and it's shocking that they don't realize what the long game is for every player in the NFL, and realize what they're kind of saying to a teammate when they start bringing up his money.
Lead national NFL writer for Bleacher Report, Mike Tenier, bringing it this morning. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. That was great.
Always a pleasure. Take care and enjoy the games.